For our next congregational song, I'll ask you to take your blue hymnal, turn to number 352, Gentle Shepherd, Come and Lead Us. We'll sing it through twice. Number 352, Gentle Shepherd, Come and Lead Us.
Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle Shepherd, come and feed us, for we need your strength from day to day. There's no
Let's pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every summer, Bruce and I try to make it to the McCrae family cabin on the shores of Hand Lake in northern Minnesota. There is much that draws us back to this well-loved place, not least of which is time spent with family. There's always much laughter and action and fun times. But what I have come to value the most is the lake itself, especially when everything is still. The water is like glass, kind of like that picture that Peggy was showing. The water is like glass. You can see the reflection of the trees on the shore and the clouds in the sky. And except for occasional loon calls, all is quiet, still. I like to be out in a kayak on the lake when it is like this, just floating and being present, letting the deep stillness seep into my bones. He leads me beside still waters, says the psalmist. And this morning, I invite you to experience a bit of this stillness with me. Here's what I'd like you to do. Sit comfortably. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath in and out. And now imagine. Imagine taking off your cares and worries like you would take off a jacket or a backpack and laying them aside. You can pick them up later. Now imagine walking down to the lake. It is still, beautiful, calm, and clear. Imagine slipping into a kayak and paddling quietly out to the center of the lake. Or if being on the water isn't your thing, imagine settling into a lawn chair on the shore and looking out at the beauty around you. All is quiet. All is still. For the next 2 minutes, which may seem long, but don't worry. If there are noises, imagine that they are the call of a loon. For the next 2 minutes, sit quietly, breathe slowly, and allow this image of stillness to permeate your being. As we come out of the quiet, and before you pick up your cares and worries again, I invite you to listen to another story of stillness as told by Sarah Hooley from Southern Idaho. She entitled her reflection, Morning Prayers with Molly. Please receive it as a gift. Under a blue vaulted ceiling stretching to infinity, I crouch while the The heartbeat like rhythm of milk hitting pail rings through quiet spaces, calling the congregants to prayer. Molly the cow stands patiently as Mom and I lean into the places of trust, gently coaxing frothy milk from her generous udder. I silently repeat segments of songs, the beat following the motion of my hands. So let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. And soon after, my shepherd will supply my need, no more a stranger nor a guest, but like a child at home. Occasionally, my hands brush Mom's, and I find solidarity and accountability in her presence, knowing her daily prayer. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us this day our daily bread. Others answer the call to stillness too. Archie, the cow dog, lies quietly nearby, while Nellie, the cat, cuddles fondly between his paws. Stately Frederick, the silver tabby, sits tall on the brow of the pasture hill. Squirrels pause on their route from walnut tree to haystack cache, quivering bodies momentarily still. Peacocks preen meditatively in the morning sunlight, and the magpie shouts his raucous praise to the heaven. We thank Molly with apples and a hearty breakfast, leaving a trail of contentment in our wake. Calmed by the quiet communion, we carry abundance to the house, What began as yet another chore, born from the desire of being close to our food source, became a daily opportunity to pause in the presence of our great provider. How do these things begin? I only remember coming to the awareness of what already was. Morning prayers change with the seasons. Molly moves from pasture to barn. We go from smelling dew-wet grass to breathing in August's harvest from the golden straw around our feet. Sometimes prayers come as easily as breath. Other times, restless hooves and busy schedules make stillness elusive. Regardless of how today's prayers go, tomorrow we will try again as we kneel beside Molly in the presence of the cosmic Christ. That's the end of the reflection by Sarah Hooley and the end of our morning time of stillness in the presence of God. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. The Apostle Paul writes these words to folks in the fledgling church in Philippi. He knows that things aren't going smoothly there. There is tension in the house. He acknowledges the difficulties, even going so far as naming names. I urge Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord, he writes. He calls on others in the community to help these sisters in the faith, his colleagues, help them work out their differences and find a way forward. He calls on them to recenter their faith, to recover the deep stillness within them, to return to the source of their hope. We human beings can tolerate anything as long as our center holds. We are not responsible for what is at the center. It is God. But we do need to put intentional effort into keeping our connection to the center alive and strong. And we do this in several ways. One way is personal. We each must put on our oxygen mask first before helping others. We do this by taking time to be still and recognize the presence of God deep within us. God does dwell within each of us, you know. This is a truth and a mystery. It is something that we Christians confess to be true, but often have a very hard time comprehending. In his book, Conjectures of a Guilty Bystander, Catholic mystic Thomas Merton provides a beautiful image, which I find very helpful. He writes, "At the center of our being is a point of nothingness, which is untouched by sin and by illusion, a point of pure truth, a point or spark which belongs entirely to God. This little point of nothingness, of absolute poverty, is the pure glory of God in us. It is like a pure diamond blazing with the invisible light of heaven. It is in everybody, and if we could see it, we would see these billions of points of light coming together in the face and the blaze of a sun that would make all the darkness and cruelty of life vanish completely." God is there at the very center of our being. A pure diamond blazing with the invisible light of heaven. And this is true for each one of us, for all of us. In prayer and stillness, taking time to wait and to listen, we orient ourselves to this light. We let go of ourselves, our outside selves, and enter fully into God's presence. And in doing this, we anchor ourselves in the deep and abiding love which holds us fast. And although this is personal, it is not an individual experience. Staying connected to God always leads to increased connection to people and the world around us. We learn to look outward when we look inward. As we find God in ourselves, we begin to see God in each other. We know that God dwells in us and among us, and that, come hell or high water, we are in this together, as a community, as a people. We draw strength and courage from this realization and from each other. Since we are in this together, notice what is going on in the community, Paul says to the Philippians and to us. Pay attention. Treat each other with gentleness. Look for and expect to see the light of God's glory in each person. Listen deeply to what is going on in each other's lives. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Bring out the best in each other. To do this is to participate in the work of God. In the September 25 issue of the Mennonite World Review, Hannah Heishman writes about transformation. She tells the story of a woman who stuttered as a child. She was told by a teacher that she would be limited to only one question per class period because her stutter delayed the entire class. Frustrated and hurt, she went home to her mother, who immediately committed to working with her to overcome her stutter. Together, they were successful in this effort. I was struck by Hannah's comment on this. She writes, "I was mesmerized by the transformation she described and by how it was facilitated through her relationship with her mother. She embodies what happens when we feel truly safe with another, when we are truly and deeply listened to. It creates us, makes us unfold and expand. When we are centered in the stillness that is God at our center, we are able to provide the solid ground that others need to grow and flourish. When we are in the company of others who are centered and grounded in God's presence, we too begin to feel like we are on solid ground. When we feel truly safe with another, when we are truly and deeply listened to, it creates us. It makes us unfold and expand. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. Think about them not because you're trying to block out the bad stuff, although that's a nice side effect, perhaps. Think about them not as a penance or some sort of homework assignment, though intention and practice are important elements. Think about these things because they help us understand who God is and what God desires. They reflect the true nature of God, the creator of the universe, the God who resides deep within each of us. God is true, honorable, just, pure, pleasing, and commendable. In God there is excellence, and it is worthy of praise. This is who God is, and this is who we are to be as God's people, people in whom God lives. The gift that comes from thinking about these things, from focusing on God's presence in us and in the world, is peace, which surpasses all understanding. Peace which comes from knowing that our souls, our hearts, our minds, our lives, our world is inhabited by and centered on the God of life. Which takes us back to stillness. Stillness born of trust. The stillness which is described so beautifully in Psalm 23. Listen again to this beloved psalm, my sisters and brothers. Let it wash over you. Let your hearts be filled with peace. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Even though he leads me in right paths for his name's sake, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Amen. Now you can turn to your joys and concerns. On the back of the joys and concerns are the words for a song which Nathan wrote for us, and we sang last year a lot, and he will lead us again. Whatever is true, it's the words of Philippians 4:8-9.